Allah Jalla Jalalhu, when He gives to a human being, an individual, the opportunity, the tawfiq to implement a good deed, then at that moment, for that opportunity to implement a good deed, the person's qalb, his heart or her heart, they produce different effects or conditions or emotions. Different effects. Now, outwardly, you see that this person is implementing a good deed, a pious deed. But the deed itself is practiced externally, but internally it goes and produces an output, internally, an effect, a condition. And the decisions of the hereafter for every individual will not be based on our external deeds and appearance, rather the appearance of that deed internally on our heart, that is what will create the decision in the hereafter. For example, we practice something, we implement a deed, and due to practicing that deed, shaitan, he utilizes that deed and he makes us feel that I've done this deed, and the effect is then produced on the heart. For example, a person implements a good deed, he has takabbur or ajab, pride, or he's showing off, or he's got some sort of status complex or ujub, or he feels that this is the deed I've done, a very good deed I've practiced, and he feels good, or he has pride and he shows off. So the condition externally is of the deed, but internally it goes and produces a negative effect on the heart. And so that is different. The internal state is different to the external state. The internal is different to the external. So Allah Ta'ala, for example, gives somebody status, knowledge status, or ilm, or any type of status in terms of Islamically. So internally that person then considers and thinks that this was my right. I studied 7 years, 8 years studying ilm, knowledge. So it's my haqq that I am an imam and I'm recognized and I'm successful. Or spiritually, a person says that I did a lot of mujahada, a lot of dhikr and adhkar and remembrance, and it was my right that I would have been given this status. And so these feelings and emotions overcome a person. Definitely they come. So the situation is spoilt when it comes to the heart. So externally, he's a big peer, sahab, he's a scholar, he's an alim, he's a mudarris, yeah? He's a commentator. But internally, he feels on the heart that this was my haqq, this was my right, and it should have happened like this. I studied, I worked hard, I sweated. So internally, that person's condition, it changes. And very easily, this can be analyzed. If you take that status away from that person, for example, a sheikh has given ijaza to the student, or you have a maqam, you've been given a maqam that you give a daras here or give a speech, and then you take that away from the person, then what is the effect on the heart of that person? That's what we've got to assess. For example, a sheikh gives ijaza to a student, go to this locality and do the work of the deen. And for some reason, due to Allah Ta'ala's preference, Allah Ta'ala withdraws that responsibility. What at that time is the effect? If the person in both situations, whether he has that status or he doesn't, he is the same. Okay, my Shaykh gave me the order to do this work. And when the work is stopped or taken it away, withdrawn, he has no difference in his outward and inward. He's totally the same. That's good. So this feeling, to create this feeling inside the heart, this is where Allah Ta'ala says the positive result will come in the hereafter, because the decisions are made on the effect of the heart. So where is success gained? Due to the condition of the heart. And a beautiful example comes to my mind, a simple example, that what is the link between the heart and amal, deeds? Now, if you go and ask someone who is a farmer, who plows the fields, we've done this, so we know. So if we ask a farmer, a person who cultivates the land, and let's take the best seed, the most beautiful of seeds, and that seed is, can it produce fruit in every earth? No. It is not the work of the seed, it's the work of the earth. So we have to look at the earth, which is fertile, which has lower, higher, has water absorption qualities which is strong or powerful, then the cultivation will take place on the earth, then the seed will be sown, and then that seed will give the output of the fruit or vegetable. So if we don't look at the earth, we just throw the seeds into any earth that is visible, then there is no power in the seed to give the output. So in the same way, the heart of a person, it's stated that the heart is the cultivation ground for the world and hereafter. So in which land, which earth shall we put the seed? Is it the seed is amal and the heart is the cultivation, the heart is the earth. So a beautiful hint is given here that if you do a good deed, if you want to do a good deed, before that you must cultivate the land, which is the earth. You have to work hard on the earth, which is the heart, and then the zahiri actions like salah or any small deed that you are doing, a pious deed or good deed. If you've given somebody water to drink, good deed, great deed. If you take somebody's finger and take him across the road, great deed. And success and salvation can become a result of this deed, not a minor thing, not a minor thing. Look small. For example, you're walking down the road and you see somebody, you smile at them and look at them, great deed. Great action. You've helped somebody. Great action. Great deed. Yani nothing is there, a good deed, which is even akin, similar to an atom. To an atom, a speck of dust. That's why Allah Ta'ala's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has mentioned this word in the hadith. With regards to the atom's weight or mustard seed weight. That even a deed that is that small and maybe light weight will take somebody to paradise. So if our heart is not made or conditioned and cultivated, you can put the most beautiful seed into the heart. You can pray tahajjud all night long, do worship all night long, recite Quran all night long, and do big deeds and speeches and daras and hadith. But the seed will give the fruit when the condition of the heart, the earth in other words, has been cultivated and prepared. So it's very important to make the heart, to prepare the heart. And that's not why, that is the reason why Allah Ta'ala hasn't just said, kathiran kathira, kathiran kathira, kathiran kathira. The whole heart is full of the advice that do dhikr in abundance. But before that, prepare your heart. In parallel with doing the dhikr of Allah, prepare your heart, clean it. So the tawfiq that Allah Ta'ala has given to us to do a deed, we can get the positive result. Now Jannah. And hereafter there will be unique scenes and sights that people will see. Effects of what people have done. People who were so-called the rightful owners of paradise, who said we've done this and this and we need paradise and we're guaranteed, they will be dragged towards the left-hand side. Those people who were immersed or drowned in sins, they will be taken to the right. So there will be unique decisions made. And the reason for this is that the amal, the deeds from the heart. Yes, and a person can only benefit from the deeds when his heart is prepared. Otherwise, that salah we pray externally on the earth, it will go internally into us and it will take a form which is very weird. Dhikr or salah or tilawat of Quran. Brothers, Allah's name is a great thing. So we will see these sights in the hereafter and we'll realize in the hereafter the hisab, the balance, the accounts. Now there was a person from Bani Israel and he had the desire to perform a good deed, a big deed. A big deed. And in that passion, that desire, he went out for Allah Ta'ala's ibadat and he sought a place, the sea. And in the sea, there was something that he was looking for. Where is he looking for? Where there's no food, no drink, no vegetation, no roots, no vegetation, no growth, quality or prospect. But this was his iman. He said, I have left for the sake of Allah and I want to do ibadah. And the rest, Allah Ta'ala has said himself that I will give rizq. It's not your job, it's my job. So if Allah Ta'ala has taken something into his quality, into his responsibility, that we try to do that now, and then Allah makes us wretched. And the things that Allah Ta'ala says is your responsibility, we say, no, that's Allah's responsibility. Well, someone says, pray salah, oh, if Allah gives tawfiq, I'll pray salah. Or do this deed of Islam, if Allah gives tawfiq. And rizq, oh, if I don't work hard, well, I'm going to eat from? I'm going to earn the bread and the crust, and I'm going to get water and the food, and the pay the bills, and etc., etc., if we don't move around ourselves. So that's an opposite thing. So the person, he had tawakkul in Allah, reliance in Allah, alhamdulillah. He started worshipping Allah Ta'ala. And he became immersed in the remembrance of Allah. And 1 year, not two, not three, not four, 400 years. 400 years. And look, imagine the age. The age. The reality is this, that when a person has a friendship with Allah and starts good deeds, He does good, pure deeds. Then Allah Ta'ala puts barakah in everything of his. So you get an increase in the age as well. Remember this, your age also increases and the rizq, the wealth increases and your children increase and barakat come. And everything Allah Ta'ala starts to increase about that person. It increases and there's khayr and khayr around him in his life. There's good upon good upon good. So a true, honest individual, if he takes from Allah and utilizes it correctly, according to the boundary, then Allah Ta'ala opens the doors of barakah for him. So this individual, 400 years Allah Ta'ala gave him the age and so much prostration in ibadah, 400 years, and eating and drinking and the food, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala created a tree next to him, and that was a pomegranate tree from paradise. He used to break off one pomegranate and the whole day's hunger would go. There was juice and nourishment and every vitamin he would attain with the fadl of Allah. There was a spring water, fresh water he used to drink from near to him. And he had the pomegranate and the water, and he was busy in the remembrance of Allah, enjoying the remembrance of Allah. And then his final days came after 400 years had passed, his time came, Allah Ta'ala called him, the angel of death came and said, yes, your turn has come, the call has come for you. He said, okay. He said, I made a niyyah that I'm going to go to Allah, and I'm going to read 2 rak'ah and nafil before that. And then the final rak'ah of mine, when I go into prostration, at that time extract my life. He said, Allah Ta'ala told me this before, that this is the way you're going to take out his life. He's my beloved follower. So I have come with this instruction, you don't need to send the request. So he did wudu, he made niyyah for salah, and he went into salah. First rak'ah. Then the second rak'ah, he went to prostration, and then the angel of death took his life. Ruh, on the day of judgment, when that individual will come and be presented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As I said, these are the sites of qiyamah, will be unique and different, and even our accounts will take place on that day. So Allah ta'ala has called that person, and the decision's made. Without any accounting, Allah ta'ala makes the decision. And the decision for his name is made. And will be made. And it is stated that it will be said to him, Allah Ta'ala says, take this man ila al-jannati, take this person to Jannah with my rahmah, with my mercy, enter him into paradise. And this was Allah Ta'ala's decision. Allah Ta'ala says, bi abdihi ila al-jannati bi rahmati. So he says, Allah bi rahmati ya bi amali, with your rahmah or with amal, will I go due to my deeds or due to rahmah? Allah Ta'ala says, okay, bring him back. He's questioning. He was going without accounting. Now Allah Ta'ala will say, set the scales for him. And the scales will be set. And you understand mizan? The scale. In other words, the decision. Allah will say, okay, put all his deeds of 400 years here on one side. And his deeds will be put, oh, and the scale is heavy. Then Allah Ta'ala says, one of the ni'mas I gave to him, put it to the other scale, to the other side. Just one. Put the eye on the other side. Okay? Put the eye. So now present your gratitude for your eye. One ni'mah of Allah Ta'ala, the eye is so great that 400 years of ibadah could not pay for that, compensate for that. Finished. He couldn't fulfill the rights of the eye. Allah Ta'ala says now, idhabu bi'abdihi ila jahannam bi'adlihi. Allah Ta'ala said first, that due to my rahmah, send him to paradise. Now Allah Ta'ala says, now due to my adl, I have done adl, justice. My adl says that he needs to go into paradise. And he's starting to shriek and scream. He says, Allah, please forgive me, I made a mistake. Your rahmah, only due to that I can go into paradise. Not due to my amal and my deeds. Look how many deeds he had, 400 years of ibadah. But what was the condition in his heart? The deeds, what did they create within his heart? That in front of Allah, he said, my amal, my deeds, Allah. He was proud of his deeds. How many amal a person will practice? But Allah Ta'ala still said, drag him towards the hellfire. So remember this point, on the day of judgment, akhirah, there will be unique events taking place that people will see in their real form and reality. Person should understand, a person in the same way, Allah Ta'ala will say to him in the hadith, it is stated that, oh sinful person, he was a sinner, and he will be presented in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah will say, take his deeds out, where are all his deeds? And all his sheet will be full of the sins to miles long. Allah, he will say, Allah, this is all I've got. That's all I've got, nothing else. I've got no good deeds. Allah Ta'ala will call him and say, okay, fine, do this then, that we don't have time. You read out the sins that you've committed. Allahu Akbar, subhanAllah. Rasulullah is mentioning this story of the hereafter. That man would say, is it? Okay. So he came from the dunya, he had so many sins. And how much he might have been like a gangster or a bandit or a fraudster, he would have done wrong things. Can anything of his be good? Everywhere he would have committed fraud or deceit. So he was the champion of deceit and trying to fraud. He said, okay, I'll try here as well. I deceive people there. Let's see what I can do. He started to read the list. And all the big sins he put to the back, and the small sins he read out. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated that he's doing this in front of Allah because he had a habit of stealing or presenting the wrong image. So the big sins he hid, he didn't read them out, and the small sins he started to read out and explain. And Allah said, have you mentioned everything? And he said, yes, Allah, I've mentioned it. Allah says, these were your sins. He said, totally this. He said, anything else? He said, nothing else, Allah. This was it. This is all I did. Allah Ta'ala will say that there must be something else that don't try to conceal. Allah Ta'ala will say, he thought he would conceal. Allah Ta'ala said, the sins he's mentioned, all of those sins, change them into good deeds. When he hears that, he says, Allah, 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 wait, there were some sins left, a few, and I need to present them. Allah's Nabi says, when he mentioned this hadith, he laughed so much that the Sahaba Ikram saw his blessed teeth, the sparkle. SubhanAllah. So two men will be presented. SubhanAllah. And they will be called from hellfire. They'll call these people out of hellfire. Allah will say, let me decide on these people, make the decision. Both men will come. Allah will say, okay. Now Allah will look at both. And after that, Allah will say that take them back into Jahannam. The decision has been made again. Go back to Jahannam. And one will shoot. After hearing this decision, like, you know, he's running back to a tea party. With speed, he will run back towards Jahannam. And he's running after Jahannam, sprinting. And the other man, very slowly, he goes back to Jahannam. Allah Ta'ala will say, call them both back. What is this? The one man's going very fast. Allah is Khabir and Basir. Allah knows the answer, but Allah Ta'ala wants to show the sights of His mercy for the hereafter. So both of them, Allah Ta'ala says, call them back. So both come back. Allah will say, that tell me, why did you go return fast and sprinting to Jahannam when I said go back to Jahannam? Why were you happy? He says, Allah, you are Khabir and Basir. You know everything. But all my life long I disobeyed you. Aha, subhanAllah. Imagine the thought process of the man. He said, all my life, Allah, I disobeyed you. Now once I could never commit to good deed. I thought, okay, I've disobeyed all my life. Let me listen to one thing of Allah. So I ran quickly. And says, I was trying to obey you and there was no other reason. SubhanAllah. Allah will say, you? And why did you go back slowly and slowly and slowly? You'll say, Allah, I was thinking this, that when you said go back to Jahannam, that I was hopeful, not from your rahmah, that you will take me back to Jahannam, you take me out and send me back. What's the reason that Allah Ta'ala is doing this? I was thinking, Allah Ta'ala say, take them both into paradise. So my brothers, this is the ajeeb, unique, you could say weird form of things that happen in the dunya. So one lesson we should make solid and strong here while we're living. Everything that I've told you, the reality is that we are very weak. We are weak. Allah Ta'ala gives us ni'mah. Allah gives us amal. Allah Ta'ala gives us amal. Once to say Allah is a great deed. So when a person does a good deed, and Allah gives the tawfiq to do that good deed, then the feeling of the heart, as I said before, is that that amal should not go into the heart and become pride and showing off and I've got status. And it takes a person, those thoughts take a person from the good to the bad result. So the condition should be such that even if I have a small deed that I've implemented and it's coming to my heart and I want to create the good positive condition of my heart, then at that time we should have so much humility. So much should a person bow himself in the presence of Allah, that SubhanAllah, you gave me the opportunity to do this deed. I was not capable. How did I recite your name from my tongue, Allah? How can I do your dhikr? Look at me and look at your dhikr, Allah. In other words, from the deeds, a person, we understood those deeds to be weighty and high. In other words, Allah Ta'ala's name is so great that Allah, that we cannot imagine. So a person, when he sits down with ease and he eats food to his fill and burps and he feels that he hasn't done nothing, Allah Ta'ala doesn't like this action, that in his heart he doesn't have that awareness. He doesn't understand, have the emotion that salah, I've given him salah, how I gave him ijazah, how salah came. What is the reward? The first decision that we made is that this person didn't know how to pray salah. Where did his salah go? Oh, I just prayed. Or I just read salah. But these things are not the reality. It's not the physical outward effects that will be shown. It's the inner spiritual state of the heart that will take shape and form in the Day of Judgment. So this is the way a person should bow with humility. His heart should have humility. He should be sincere and humble and have no desire for status or recognition. A person should be totally fana that was I qabil, was I capable that Allah Ta'ala gave me this wood? Was I capable that I could come to the masjid? As the Shah Naqshband Rahmatullah Alayhi. What a beautiful word he said. Hazrat Bahauddin Naqshband Rahmatullah Alayhi. Hazrat Bahauddin Naqshband Rahmatullah Alayhi. Who is the head, the former of our silsila. Somebody asked him, "Oh Hazrat, and for you, do you have any karamat? Do you have any miracle? You have no any miracles. You have not shown us anything. How can you be what people think you are?" And what was the answer? What a great individual he was, a sheikh he was. He said, "There's no bigger miracle for me that despite all of my sins, I am walking on the earth and the earth has not swallowed me. Allahu Akbar." Imagine with what sense he said this, that my sins are so much, they stack up so high that I'm walking on this earth. Whereas we have the previous nation's examples in the Quran. He says, "I am various times over impure and the earth has not swallowed me when it should have." So he says that, is this not a miracle? So how he had humility and humbleness and sincerity and simplicity on his heart. And this is the effect. So brothers, this is the meaning of this struggle, that tomorrow when we go, these words that I've mentioned to you, there will be a different game. We think, for example, I've done dhikr for 30 years and I was a peer sahab and I told people a lot about deen and I left many murids after me and so many men after me who were proud of me or liked me. I was a muhaddith, a mufakkar. I used to give speech and many thousands used to sit in my speeches. But this dunya, my friends, is a weird thing. I gave you a few examples. As soon as the veil is drawn in front of the heart, then the reality of those actions changes. Then all of the wahwa finishes and the reality comes in front. The which deeds are yours? Allah will say, "Where are you going, my friend? Where are you going? Where do you think you're going? You are here on this side." And on this point, when the heart is made of an individual and he does a deed, then don't be happy about the amal. Be more happy about the effect of that deed. He has more fikr for that. He says, "Allah, this deed that I have performed, that how can I keep this intact? How will my heart accept this? How can I do the shukr?" There should either be shukr in my heart, so much simplicity and humbleness that I become a servant. Allah, all day long you allowed me to come to this angle. That this should be the case, that the line that me and you are following, that alhamdulillah Allah Ta'ala sat us down. This line, the asal, the genuinity is this. This is the ruh, the spirit that I'm telling you, which is called tasawwuf, the spirit, the ruh. The person, the people who do tazkiyah, they're always drowned in this thought for fikr-e akhirah. They have no other thought of anything else. That the deeds that Allah Ta'ala is giving to them, and such beautiful deeds that Allah Ta'ala tests them with. Allah tests them with. And on those same deeds, they go into deep thoughts that Allah, that for example, I told you about Hazrat Shah Bahauddin Naqshband Rahmatullah Alayh, this was his style. That from all of the personalities, great personalities and the sheikhs, they had the same style. That even after doing so much mujahidah, they still thought that despite all of the effort they made, that they have done nothing. And this was not acting, this was the real form of the heart. And after a few points, we start to worry. One Ramadan, two Ramadan, we think that we are guaranteed Jannah. And we don't have to do anything else. Allah Ta'ala, do you think He likes such murid? Does He like such people with hopes like this? No. There's nothing wrong with the ambition, but we have to see that what has the deed transformed into when it comes to heart. For example, a scholar gives a speech. What's his condition after he gives the speech? What comes into the heart? What's the emotion? What's the result? And the reality is this, that when the condition comes along, that a person, he knows that Mimbar-e Rasool sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the alim, the scholar, and he's got to this point, the Mimbar-e Rasool, and reaching there, the person shakes, "Where am I sitting? That what haqqa do I have? What is my capability? I have no capability. What am I? I'm nothing. And where am I going? Where are you sitting? Where am I sitting? On the Day of Judgment, what will be my hal? What will be my condition and conclusion?" For example, that person, when he starts, then the nasiyah of the deed should be that his heart is expanding. That what am I doing now? So this is the tasawwuf. This is the purification. And this occurs due to the dhikr of Allah. But first we have to make the niyyah. We have to make the intention. You know our brothers who do tablighi, propagation of the deen. And if we don't make niyyah that we're going to become pious or good, then our struggle physically will not move. It will not progress. It will not have an effect. So we have to make the niyyah. That Allah Ta'ala make our hearts so clean and allow our hearts to have awareness of the Akhirah, and should our heart should be sensitive that we can even think, alhamdulillah, that everything we grip, every deed we grab hold of, we don't waste the opportunity. How a person thinks, that don't just think, oh, I've prayed Salah and I'm going to go to Firdaus, I've done one deed and I will go to here, and if I do this deed I'll get this reward guaranteed. No, there's nothing wrong in asking, there's nothing wrong in thinking. But when the awareness comes into the heart, then that becomes something else. So is this not the case? So my brothers, I should struggle on this. And the summary of all this is that, just like my Hazrat Nur al-Amarqada rahmatullah used to say, that it's the objective is not dhikr, the objective is the cure, the solution from dhikr. So when a person looks at himself in the mirror, that look how I am fine, then he goes back from the mirror. So we should analyze ourselves in the mirror, spiritually, the what am I? What is the effect of my dhikr? Not that I've done dhikr 30 years or 50 years, I'm sitting with my shaykh, or 60 years or 30 years, I'm struggling, or 40 years or 50 years. This goes back to that you do the deeds and you're putting the false hopes in your heart, and we're speaking rubbish in the heart, that the ill effects that come, oh, I've done dhikr for this long, 30 years, 40 years, I should be Khalifa now, deputy now. No, never should we think like this. So this is the reality. A person should think that whatever status I get or not, everything I get, if a little bit, if I get the opportunity to do a good deed, to say Allah's name, then whose fadl is it? Allah Ta'ala's fadl and grace, His mercy. This is Allah's mercy, Allah's reward. But we should be drowning and swimming in Allah Ta'ala's shukr, that we are going to go, we need to do the deeds. For example, a person said, here's £300,000, this is your house, these three houses, yours, four or five houses. What will be the condition of that person? Wow, subhanAllah, he'll be drowned in shukr and gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is nothing. Allah Ta'ala says, I'm giving the opportunity to recite my name. If you recite my name, you've got all the kingdoms of the world and all of the Jannah gardens. Just say once with your heart, Allah. But does anybody understand this? Tell me. Does anybody have the awareness or the feeling of this? For so many days we're doing dhikr of Allah, and nobody has that awareness and appreciation. And this will happen, that don't have pride on your status physically in the world. When we go to Allah Ta'ala in the hereafter, Allah will decide to take this person right or left. The deeds won't be the guarantor. Allah said, remember in the beginning, what we recited and discussed? That all of Allah Ta'ala's rahmah, all of the success of ours will be Allah's rahmah. No will the dhikr help, no will salah help, or other ibadat help. This earth, let's cultivate it. Even we then put a small seed onto the earth, alhamdulillah, after correcting this earth, if you put one tree like this, then that tree will shake positively. Such a beautiful tree that will be grown there. Allah Ta'ala, may Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq to practice on this. Ameen.